Okay, both side page. Kuchav test on the bottom paragraph in Parnas. Yesterday we learned. We discussed the sugya of kas and roiges, that a person should never ever get angry. We learned the controversial statement of the Sefer Chassid that a person should not get angry even on matters that's kedai, that's worthy to get angry about. Even that a person should not get mad, which is very a little bit controversial, because there are times when it is kedai to get angry. But even then, a person should not get angry. And then we spoke about roges. Roges is where it's a higher level of anger, where steam comes out of your nostrils. Now, and then we discussed the sugya that a person that gets angry, he creates a fear in his home where it can lead to averois. A man comes home on Shabbos and his chalent is not hot. He'll let off steam. So what may result? His wife may be mechallel Shabbos and cook the chalent on Shabbos itself. What?
Next week she won't make chalent. She'll punish it for getting
angry. She'll poison the chalent. She'll put in the chalent poison so he won't come home next week. Who knows? It leads to very serious violations of halacha, nida, with all these very frightening things we learned yesterday. What can happen when a person is too nasty, and a member of the household does not want to deal with the nastiness of their spouse or other member of the family, they'll go to extreme measures in order not to have to deal with that situation. And these are terrible averos. So if a person never come to set such a harsh tone in his home. Likewise, in the Beis HaKnesses, or in the Tzibur, v'chein Parnas, in the bottom of the page Kuf Chav Tes, v'chein Parnas, al yatel imu al Tzibur, a leader should not instill, should not cast too much fear on the Tzibur, shelo l'shem shemayim. The yirdeh, and he will rule, the yin gois, I don't know what that word means, lashon of like, to oppress. I think we're something like a word to no gaze is to oppress, to oppressor. The yachoyf oisam bechoska, to force the people to do things against with force. Lichvoid atzmai. Why are you doing? Why you are involved in these things? Kadeshlo yireim upechtim. They should be afraid of him. They should yir and pachad. V'kamo einshoy gadol. It's a very great avera. Ki heim nimnim im haminim v'hamishumadim. People who parnosim, religious leaders who are not in the business of serving the tzibur l'shem shamayim. They're in it for their own honor. Or here that people should be afraid of them. They should honor them. So these people are counted with the minim and the mishumadim v'hamisurois. And those, a moiser is someone that gives over another Jew to the government. Is there such a thing today as a moiser in America? Yes. Good question. Not so simple. Sure. Not so simple. Why a person is an abuser. A person you suspect that he has abused a child. A sexual abuse. So you can't call the police? You're not allowed to call the police? You call the moiser? If you call the police, is that really true? People make that argument. People, let's say, the Shulchan Aruch is one of the worst things you can possibly do. If you're a Moisek, you give over another Jew to the government, you're Chayiv Misa, you're Roidev, because the government's going to torture him. So you're not allowed to report.
What about the victim?
Exactly. So that's the question. So how do you reconcile what it says in Shulchan Aruch with dealing with society, modern society today? Today, Kamat, all the major league poskim pretty much are of the opinion that there's no such in America. There's no real din moiser.
But that hasn't stopped the attitude of so many rabbanim.
Okay, did you see that chilling video from Amudim?
Uh-huh.
If you have not seen it, you should all see. There's a video. Go to any one of the major websites, of Matzav or Yeshiva World News, and just type in Amudim, and they put out a video of when people come to an administrator to report. They show a family. Parents and a child coming to an administrator to report that their child has been abused, and it's very, very chilling. I know someone that actually went through something very, very, I would say minor, but I sent them this video, and they said, "What a video! Every single line." that the actors on this video said was exactly what they were told. Word for word. Okay, so is there something called the Moise Bizman Hazeh? Or not? But it's not so simple. What? All right, it's a very, very complicated, very, very complicated matter. But over here, the Sefer Chassidim throws around this word, and he talks about the minim and the mishumodim and the hamis surois, those people who report you to the IRS, they report you to the authorities regarding matters in time of Chazal. When the government got a hold on you, you didn't come back alive. Okay? If someone would report you to the government, you're finished. They would kill you. They would torture you. They would do to you. Therefore, Chazal viewed a person who's a moiser to be mamish, to be a roidef. Today, it's not so. If you report to the government, they're not going to kill you. But they could definitely do things to you that may be a very, very unpleasant. And may, in some instances, be more than what the Torah law would demand. So then the question is, how far do we go? I have to also keep in mind that a person is a danger to society, a danger to your child, that cannot at all be ignored whatsoever. Certainly when you give over to a government, when you tell a government that the person that was a god feels money, or you give over their bodies, so here he's taking a very, very hard line. He's saying something very, very shocking. He's saying that a person that conducts himself in a position of authority, Shaloy l'shem shamayim, he does it just that people should be afraid of him. B'chazko l'chvoid atzmai, for his own honor. The second line, his own honor, and then he says k'dei shayu yireim u'poichadim imenu. So there are really two different concepts here. First is for his own honor, and then they should be afraid of him. Two different expressions. So they're very different. No, sometimes you find people they're in for the kavod, and over here you're saying they should be afraid of you. Okay, it's very, very frightening. You know, the difference is very interesting. That when after the war, you go look back and look at these history books, the people that came to America, who survived the war and they rebuilt Yiddishkeit in America, by and large, you can't say everyone. It was clear as day they were rebuilding Yiddishkeit 100% l'shem shemayim. They established yeshivos, moistos, they schnorred money, they coughed up blood to be mevazeh themselves to raise money in order to establish institutions. And we honor them, and we're in awe of them. Today, when someone opens up a new yeshiva, okay, someone today, let's say, opens up a new yeshiva. So how do they have money to start up a new yeshiva? Obviously, they're independently wealthy, or someone is funding them. Why are you making a new yeshiva? Aren't there enough yeshivas? Why don't you channel all of your money, your resources, to the existing yeshivas? They can use some help. No, they don't want to do things my way. If I give them the money, the money is going to go... Exactly, mi barosh. So I want to make my own yeshiva. So making your own yeshiva because you want to mechazek Klal Yisrael. You want to rebuild Yiddishkeit. There are students who are being lost by the wayside, and they're not being accepted. Is that why you're making your own yeshiva, or you're making your own yeshiva because you want to make a name for yourself?
You have an agenda.
You want to make a name. Covet. Pasha. I need a job. I want to have something for myself. I want to have a leg. I want to have for my children. You can't go tell me that today when you see all these new yeshivas, they're all coming to fill a need in Klal Yisrael. I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. Who am I to say? Okay, who am I to say? Why am I needing to have? We have a shoe over here. So what is this all about anyway? So you can say this, but it's a very, very delicate balance. It comes out in different ways. comes out in when you do something for the tzibur, you always have to ask yourself, are you doing it l'shem shemayim, or are you doing it l'chvoid atzmai? So big deal. Mitoch shaloy l'shma, bal l'shma. So what's so terrible? The more the merrier. What's so terrible? That's pretty much the attitude today. So what's so enochnami? Do it for your own honor, for your own parnasa, your children shall have parnasa. And the male of Klal Yisrael, there'll be people that people. It will be a benefit for Klal Yisrael. So why? So that's pretty much the attitude. In other words, another example where we don't paskin like the Sefer Chassid. This book, over and over, is censored. He writes here, if you're a leader and you're doing something lichvoid atzmo for the klal, you're part of the group of people who are bikarsim, who are in the category of a moiser, that's chayiv misa, you're from the mishumodim and from the minim. I mean, the words over here that he used over here, the people that are mevaze talmidei chachamim, the worst of the worst of the worst. He puts someone over here, anyone that does something, a parnos, al yatl emal at sibu shaloy l'shem shemayim, the yirdev the yingois the yachoyf oisam b'choska. Okay, here maybe you're forcing upon people something with intensity. Maybe it's not. It shouldn't say such harsh words, but the theme over here is if it's not 100% l'shem shemayim. The words that he uses over here, and it goes further. The next one, it was part of the group of people, v'shakafru b'tchiyas ha-meznim. There's no way today that this approach is accepted. People today are told to go into religious activity, shaloy l'shem shemayim, shemitoch shaloy l'shma, bo l'shma. And what?
It's not only that. We don't have that kind of communal structure that somebody is a, you know, could be a tyrannical leader of the community. We don't have a community per se. So, I mean, we can't relate to that. Maybe in a small town in Europe, they could say that. But
you affect people's lives. A person, if you're a rabbi or you're
affiliate with you, they don't have to recognize you as a leader. They can go somewhere else.
Today, people are advised to run a religious institution as a business. Because if it's a business, you're going to care about it, and you'll be successful. If you run it like a gemach, so kideru debe shutvei loy karira v'loy chamima. If it's just volunteer work and just a gemach, and so we find over and over these type of institutions which are run by volunteers and just everyone has to contribute. Everyone's very busy, so the end is. It collapses, it implodes. If it's run where this is your parnasa, this is for you, for your family, you make a parnasa, you charge, you run it as a business, it's a business. A business, it's been proven in our generation, it didn't work in previous generations, but it's been proven over and over again now that they're successful. Someone cares about it. The yeshivas today that are public yeshivas are struggling. And the yeshivas today that are private yeshivas, they to a much larger degree are much more successful. Now they have other problems. The yeshivas that are private yeshivas, they have very big problems. Okay, there's corruption and there's nepotism and there can be abuse and there can be a lack of transparency. There are a lot of problems. And a chanami, it comes with the territory. But unfortunately the yeshivas that are public trusts, they have those problems also. They have those problems, the same problems the other ones have, they also have, not to the same degree, but they suffer from just basic operations. The operations of these are, so it's very, very interesting what he says. Yeah?
I notice you're not touching upon the Hasidic adult. We have a Rebbe, and the Rebbe is the
more structured community.
Structured, but some of these issues may come up.
I'm not familiar with those communities, so I can't talk. I'm not familiar with them. I'm not at all familiar with how they're structured, those communities. I'm not at all how they run them with money, how it all comes down to money, right? Hakesef Yanes Hakol. So who in the yeshiva who controls the money? If it's a public trust, there's a board. The money goes into an account, and then the salaries are paid and decisions are made by a public trust. If it's run privately, all the money comes into one person's pocket, and he basically
opens the books.
What?
I've never seen the books of any yeshiva. Have you?
Supposedly, it's online now. Supposedly, every Rosh Yeshiva's salary is posted online. they're all, but they don't tell you there are bonuses and there are ways.
Ways to do it, you know.
They have perks.
Parsonage.
A lot of times, he writes. He says things that are very, very frightening. The Sefer Chassidim, and it's just least even though it may not work for us, it's kedai to see what it says. Let's go further. The Aparshim Midrachei Tzibur, further, these people who went and imposed themselves upon the Tzibur, Sheloy L'Shem Shemayim, with force, they are people who deny Tchias HaMesim, they are Parshim Midrachei Tzibur, Av B'Shlochotah, Ela Nivdol Mi'adas Yisrael, even if they have not sinned. But someone that's Nivdol Mi'adas Yisrael, Ve'eino Isa Mitzvahs B'Chlolon, Ve'eino Nichnas B'Neim B'Tzorosam, V'loy Misane B'Tanisam, Shloy Machmas Oynes V'Choyli, people who do not participate with the tzibur. When there's an ace tzaretz kedai, everyone should come together. And someone who goes and separates himself and does not do mitzvahs with them together. They do their mitzvahs their own way, or they don't join in tefillah when there's an ace tzara. They don't join together in fasting. They go in their own way. This is a very, very big problem. Traditionally, it's always been a very big problem that when we need to be represented by to the government, today is very common. Today we need to lobby in the government for our, we're entitled. If you're a tax-paying citizen, you're entitled to rights. And this is a democracy. Jews have rights, they have needs, and they have entitlements. If we come together as a group, then the power is so much greater. So when you have a group, and then you have certain members of the group that do not want to join, they do not want to come together as part of that group because they don't agree with you on certain matters, whatever they may be, and they splinter away, and they have their own agenda, and they have their own lobbying group, obviously creates a lot of problems. And he's coming over here to address, the powers are in numbers. Where do you draw the line? When do you join together? When do you not join together? Next, now he quotes a pasuk. It says in the pasuk that those people who put their terror in the land of the living, who is that referring to? This is the pasuk, the idea he's coming to quote. They have put their terror upon the living. This pasuk refers to people who cast fear upon people, Sheloy L'Shem Shemayim, Yordim, what is their end? They descend, Lebe'er Shachas, Ve'enim Yoitzim Yisham L'Oilim, they don't come out of Gehenim forever. Gehenim Kala, Gehenim will come to an end, Ve'heim, Enim Kalin, they will not come to an end. Shenemar, V'tzuram L'Valoy Sha'ol, their image will be to be levalois, to be consumed in the grave. Fire will come out of their own bones and they will be burnt. So these people, he's saying over very harsh words about this concept, this principle of a person who is poiresh minat sibur, a person that is matel ema yisera on its sibur shaloi l'shem shamayim. Halacha kuf mem vav imhevi new sugya, a whole new sugya. Imhevi adam atzmai lidei chashad yimchol lechol hachoyshtem ki hu goram liatzman. Amazing idea. We have a principle that a person is choyshed b'ksherim loike begufay. A person who suspects an innocent person of wrongdoing, he is punished. Now that's only true where a person has no reason to be suspected. But sometimes we know that people engage in in irresponsible behavior, and by doing so, you bring upon yourself suspicion. And people begin to talk. And the truth is, you have done absolutely nothing wrong. But you are still guilty of allowing people to suspect you of behavior that is not proper. So this person has a special responsibility to forgive all of those people who suspect him for doing something that he did not do, because he is the one who has engaged in activity which brought this suspicion upon himself, which naturally led to other people suspecting that he is a Baal Avera. So, right, exactly. Person should not do something which is Maris Ayin, because then they're going to suspect you, and then when they're going to suspect you, they're going to be punished because Choshed B'Ksherim Loike B'Gufay, and you're really the cause of them in Choshed. Therefore, you have an obligation, a special, extra special obligation to forgive these people. Next, Halacha B'Zayin.
Something that looks bad, that's really not bad. Make sure
exactly. The Yisem Nikiyim Me Hashem Umi Yisrael. Today in all schools, they have cameras in every classroom, in the hallway. Anytime a child says that a teacher has abused me, he has, really? Let's pull out the videotape. What time, when, where, what? Every single movement in the school from the time a person walks in the building to the end of the day is under surveillance. Under cameras, DVRs, really? A teacher has abused you? What class, what time, where, when, what? Let's see. Let's go to the videotape. So that's a way that knowing you don't, and previously, you know, you go have a talk with a child in an office, the doors are closed, and the child goes and the child says, the teacher did this to me, did that to me. So why indeed did you go and sit with him privately, why are you opening yourself up to being suspect of behavior by doing things that are suspicious? Do not allow yourself into such a situation. Look suspicious. Do not allow yourself into these situations. They say that a rabbi, the teacher in rabbinic training, a rabbi should never, ever, ever meet with a woman alone. Never, under any circumstances. Yohar Gval Yavar, a woman comes for counseling, she needs counseling about anything whatsoever. You don't meet with her alone. No such thing. There has to be someone else in the room.
Yes.
And if it's a very private matter, so then at least the door has to be wide open and there has to be someone at least outside. There are techniques that a man, this is what they teach in rabbinic training. No such thing as meeting with a woman alone. And teachers with children, now it's the same thing. A teacher with children, never go and have a private meeting with a child alone. The door has to be open, or there has to be a camera, there has to be some type of video surveillance where there, do not open yourself up to suspicion.
Ridiculed?
Why is he ridiculed? It's a tzaddik.
Totally ridiculed for that. And then what happens next? Me too came descending in waves afterwards. So, see.
He was vindicated.
Or at least in our circle. So.
I mean, what's the Shiloh?
What's amazing to me is that when we went to school as young kids, we went to public school, 39 kids in a class, one teacher. Nothing happened. I mean, we didn't have cameras.
A different world. First of all, it did happen. Today, all the stories are coming out in waves. In waves, it's coming out all the stories that did happen. And everyone is saying, in those days, we didn't know about all this, and there's nothing we could have done. It's not true. It was different times. Today, it's a different world. Next, Kuf. Kuf Mem Zayin. Zemirois hayulichu kecha. David HaMelech said David was punished for saying this. David said that chukecha means your laws were to me songs. Hashem had a complaint against David. How can you call Torah a song? It's true, the Torah is called a song. V'yata kisvu lechem es hashira hazois. And Torah is called a rina. Yet the word zemirois is not the right word to describe Torah. It's a word that has a connotation of something that is that is less than spiritual. David meniach calls zmiros v'shiros shebe olam la'asek b'tayr. So first, the Gemara we are saying, putting a person a positive spin. And then the Gemara is going to go back and the Rabbi Yehuda Chaz is going to give a positive interpretation, going to give a negative interpretation. David meniach, he abandoned called zmiros v'shiros shebe olam la'asek b'tayr. He gave up all other pursuits of songs in the world to engage in the study of Torah. He would read the ta'amim, the reasons of the Torah, bini imoisav uve ta'amoisav uve zmiroisav. He would engage in the study of Torah with a delight. He relished it as if he was singing a song. So here, Rabbi Chassid is coming to put a positive note on this Chaman Mechazal, that David, the Torah was the delight of David Hamach. Now notice here something very interesting. David was meniach. You cannot have it all. Many people have this impression that you can have everything. I remember I read a Rebbe, he was a very clever Rebbe, and he was very successful in chinuch, and people would come to advice, and he would say the first thing mistake that a lot of new startups, schools they make is, they really believe very sincerely when they establish a new school, everything is going to be the best. They will have the best possible limudei kodesh, and the best possible limudei chol. And they're going to have the best gym and the best... So he says from his years and experience, it doesn't work. There has to be an ikur and a tofel. And it all depends what you want. If you're part of a community where the emphasis is that the children should get into Ivy League colleges, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you also want they should have a good Torah education. So that's fine. The ikur will be they should train them to get into the Ivy League colleges, but at the same time, you give them a good education. But don't fool yourself and think that the boys that you're planning to get, that should get into the Ivy League colleges should be Talmidei Chachamim, five-star Talmidei Chachamim, equal to the biggest Gedolei Yisrael. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. There's an ikur and a tofel. If you want your boys to be five-star Talmidei Chacham, you have to acknowledge is that the Limudei Chol will suffer. Question is, how far, to what degree will you let it suffer? Don't let it suffer. Don't be irresponsible. Don't let the kids climb the walls, waste their time doing totally nothing. But it doesn't work. He taught us that from his experience in Chinuch, where he tried every single possible technique, aiming that you can have everything, it doesn't work. There has to be an emphasis of an ikor and a tofel. The tofel could be very good. Could be very, very good. And notice over here, David. David meniach. The David, Shlomo HaMelech, you get the impression from Shlomo HaMelech, he had it all. He's a problem, because he's the exception. Shlomo HaMelech was the Chacham Mikol HaAdam. He knew science. He knew culture. He knew how to write and mishalim and music, and he was the Chacham Mikol HaAdam. What else was he? He was also the biggest Talmud Chacham. He sat the whole day. He was the Rosh HaSanhedrin. He sat the whole day and exercised mishpat. Shlomo HaMelech had it all. He had everything. Everything that this world had to offer, he mastered. But he was the exception. David, his father, didn't. We don't find David HaMelech being the Chacham Mikol HaAdam. We don't find David HaMelech being cultured in the sciences, in flying on the wings of vultures, of transportation, and going and building palaces in the sky. The Midrashim that talk about what Shlomo HaMelech was able to accomplish is unreal. In the secular world, okay, he also was a politician. Who did he not marry? He married the daughter of every king in the world. Shlomo HaMelech was a cultured man, and he was a five-star Talmud Chacham. But he is not the model for the average person. There are yechidim that do have it all, very, very rare. Yeah. Even during times of peace, he can't have it all. David, Shlomo HaMelech was a very unusual exception to the rule, and he's not a model for every single person. David is someone that we identify with all the time. Tehillim, David was abused. He was abused by Shaul. He was persecuted. He suffered. He was sick. Every problem that we have in this world, we find in David. But there's something else about David that really explains why we identified with him, and that is David did not have it all. David had priorities. And the priorities, because these were his priorities, other things in his life suffered. If David would have devoted all of his talents to music, so then he would have been the biggest musician. If he would have devoted all of his koichos to architecture, he would have built the most beautiful palaces. We don't find David building beautiful palaces. Shlomo was a master architect. Shlomo was a master musician. Shlomo was a master composer. He wrote Mishalim. He wrote Sefer Mishlei. He wrote the Megillos. He wrote all of these things. You don't find David doing these things. David was a plagiarizer. David took from Adam Arishain. He took from Moshe. He took from this Ish HaTanach. He took from him, and he can put together. And he Bnei Korach, and he put together Tehillim, and he said some of his own chidushim as well. Okay, Mizmor LeDavid. He also had some of his own compositions. David, he did not have it all. He is someone who we identify. We all know that if we're going to spend all of our time doing this, we're not going to be able to do that. That was David. And over here, Derech Agav, he writes, Zimirois hayuli chukecha. How does the Sefer Chaim learn on this pasuk? That David decided, you know what? I'm an average guy. I can't have it all. I have to set for myself a priority. What do I want my legacy to be? Do I want it to be Torah? Or do I want it to be philosophy? Do I want it to be architecture? Or do I want it to be, I'll be a Talmud Chacham, I'll dive into Hashem every day. David meiniach, he abandoned, kol zemirois v'shirois sheba oilam, la'asoik b'Torah. And that's what the pasuk means, zemirois hayu lichukecha. Not like his son. His son didn't abandon nothing. Nothing. He had it all. There was nothing he didn't touch, Shlomo HaMelech. Nothing. It's not important if it worked out well or not. It's not because he took everything, it did not work. You can't say that. The reason why it did not work out well was because he made mistakes. Not because he could not have had it all. He could have had it all. He was a gifted person. The average fellow is not a Shlomo HaMelech. The average person in the street is a David HaMelech. Kol b'nei Yisrael melachim heim. Every member of Klal Yisrael is a melech. A melech. But which melech? David, not Shlomo. And when you know that in life, you have to set for yourself priorities. And you have to accept that my priorities are going to result in other areas of my life. They'll be good. No one's telling you that you should not strive for excellence in everything that you do. But you have to acknowledge, if you're getting a PhD in math, you're not getting a PhD in history. Okay? There's only one. You're not going to focus on the other. Historians, you know, they very rarely do you find a historian being a mumche in every area. They're mumche in certain very selective periods of time and locations because that's the way we are. We're very limited in what we can do. And that is, in essence, David HaMelech. That's why very great people have always been problematic for us. Rav Kook. Why is Rav Kook so problematic for the Haredi world? Because he was a Shlomo HaMelech. He was a Shlomo HaMelech. He was able to have it all. He had a mind that's beyond comprehension. So he was able to have Zionism together with being the greatest Talmud Chacham of the century. The average person can't have them. Other person can't reconcile both. They don't have that ability to bring them together. They have to focus on one, and it automatically causes a conflict with the other. It's not your average person. We, the ones that we that are in this world turn out not to be controversial people are people who are like Davids. David Melch is where they focus on one thing, they devote themselves to one thing, and they let the other thing take a back seat. And now he writes that here clearly, and this is the pshat in the pasuk. Zimirois hayu lichu kech. For me, I gave up everything else. Meniachal zimir shav vishu shav oilam v'lasek b'dehir hayikar tatamim b'neimois b'neimoisav uv'ta'amoisav uv'zimiroisav. I think the word ta'am over here means that the ta'amei ha'tayra, that David delved into the secrets of the Torah with pleasantness. Now we're going off on a little bit of a tangent. People go and take the words of the Torah and they just use it as a way to make trouble. They use it as a weapon to go and find Mamari Chazal to distort the words of Chazal, to use it as a weapon to get what they want in this world. A love song. They take the Torah and they use the words of Chazal as lyrics for love songs that they sing to zaynis, they sing to people who are not religious. Asida Torah shetitzak aleim vaymeres ribonei shalom bonecha asouni kikinar. They've made me into a harp. Uveshoshehim koyim bi bimerutzasam as einim koyim bimizmorich hatamim. The people, when they read me, they don't go and look. They don't look at the mizmorich hatamim, whatever this means over here. They don't read with the traditional ta'ame hamikra. We don't even know what they are anymore today. Anyone even know how to sing the trop on the Sifrei Emes? What is Sifrei Emes? Iyov, Mishlei, Tehillim. Has its own set of trop. You have a look in these tzvarim. We learned Iyov and Mishlei. It's a different trop. The symbols are very funny.
You're taking this literally. That means trop.
Well, it has it also meaning.
What I'm thinking is the music of Torah is the ability to see
the holiness,
the whole composition,
the whole cohesiveness
of it all.
Not to take it out of context. Person, you're learning, and in the middle of learning, you mafsik. You start talking nonsense. He tzaekes v'ameres. The Torah complains to Hashem and says ches alafim v'chamesh meos psukim pisaktani. How many psukim are there in the Torah? So over here, Chazal said there are 8,500 psukim. Now that's not our calculation. Whatever our calculation, I forgot the number. But there's a Chazal that gives us this number. Vehim pasku yoiser mishishim riboy. They break me up. They splinter me to more than 600,000 psukim. They just take things basically out of context. They take an expression here, an expression there, and they use it as a statement which is not true, and if you would look at the words in the context of where they are found, you'll see it as an entirely different meaning. They use me for sichas chulin. When a person is giving a speech, if a person is busy watching television, prime time, his favorite episode, his favorite series, and the phone rings, does he answer the phone? No. He doesn't answer the phone. I have to see what's going to happen. I wait a whole week to watch. I was like this. What? I was like this. Certain things I wouldn't miss for the life of me. Certain shows, certain episodes on television. You want to see what happens. Series. And when during that time, there's nothing that's going to happen. In fact, I read recently that years ago when they played I Love Lucy, do you know that the stores were closed? Do you know that the water pressure was so high because no one flushed the toilet in the whole America? Not joking. Google this. No one flushed the toilet in the whole America when it was aired that half an hour, that hour of I love Lucy. That's the intensity the country had for to see, to watch the next episode. And the phones, the whole country. It's not real what went on. So if that, it's such, so important that you're not going to answer the phone, you're not going to go look at the clock. So when it comes to Torah, when you're at a shir, how could it be that you're in Beis Medrash and for the stupidest nonsense, a person's willing to get up and walk out and to go and be mafsik his learning for Narishkeit? If this was a television show, you wouldn't do that. If this was the theater, they wouldn't tolerate it. Okay, they wouldn't tolerate it in the theater, what goes on during Shiurim. And yet with this, so who's the one that is lodging this complaint? Not the Rabbanim, not the Gedolei Hadar, it's the Torah itself is coming to be Toiveya to demand its insult. How come they treat me with so much less respect than they treat other things in their lives that are really, truly nonsense? When they're in the middle of learning a sugi, a gemara, a pasuk, and chumash, what do? They stop in the middle, la'asoik bidvarim b'teilim, during Kriyas HaTorah, Monday, Thursday. How many times you look around in shul during Kriyas HaTorah, someone is texting on their telephone. Is that proper? Is that their cheres during Kriyas HaTorah, Monday, Thursday, Shabbos? At least I know cell phones. But Monday and Thursday, is that their cheres? You take out your smartphone and text. I'm not bothering anyone. There's no noise. The Torah itself is Toivea, it's covered. Now he does mention something very interesting, which is very controversial. There was some kind of very minog that they would sing. It's a very controversial thing. They would sing Shir, they would sing the Ksuba under the Chuppah, in the melody of the Megillahs, Shir HaShirim. What?
Eicha?
Not Eicha. Eicha. So that is something that many Rabban have spoken out against. It's not proper. That's not proper. A ksuba is a document, a monetary document of what will be in case of death or divorce. It's not something that you take the holy melody of Shir HaShirim and use the melody to use it for the words of a ksuba under a chuppah. It's not the right thing. Shir HaShirim is, it's the love between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. It's not proper to take that melody by Chasson Kala and use it in general between the love of man and a woman. Even that is forbidden. And certainly when it comes to a document that's nothing more than just a financial obligation to make sure that there should not guarantee, there should not be, in the case of death or divorce, it's not proper. And anything along those lines with things that are holy, melodies that are holy in Klal Yisrael, like the nigun of the Megillus of Shir HaShirim and of Megillus Esther, even Eicha, not take the words of Eicha and use it for some type of play. Have a play where you want to discuss some type of bad event, or you want to go sing the melody of Eicha. This is disgraceful. These are sacred things which should not be abused. And he talks a loose that over here when he talks about the taking people, they're taking these zemiros. You take it literally, not just the psukim, but taking the melodies and the holy things and using it for mundane purposes. Okay, we'll stop over here. Take a short break.
You set up Mishnah, you set up a book stand, book table on King's Highway in East 16th Street, the train station. Anything you can do, anyone can do.
Setting in? Huh?
They're setting up tables.
Yeah.
Of missionary books.
Yeah.
But they were not yarmulkes, but still they're not based. My wife says, there's anything you can do about it.
Nothing. What can you do about it?
Nothing. Okay. There's no JDL we could send somebody to argue with them. Or
where are they setting up stands?
They're outside the Avenue J, Avenue King's Highway train station.
So what can you do about it? Big deal. There are a lot bigger problems in life.
I just wanted to...
Yeah.
You just walk away. I was told to just walk away.
What's it do about it? Ignore it. Just totally ignore it. What's it do about it?
If it was Jason, if it was the yarmulkes, then it would be a bigger problem.
Who cares? Problem. Even with the yarmulkes, who cares? What's...
They could have it to you, because they want to engage you.
So what?
Set up doubt.
I don't see any. I said I'm going to ask. Much, much bigger problems.
See, that's the dilemma of why you except for very few individuals cannot accept both.
It's hard. It's hard.
And it's up to you.
No, so, so it's individual, right? What do you want to be the ikar?
Right.
And there are yechidim. There are definitely yechidim that I can have everything.
But they're rare.
Very rare, very, very rare.
Yeah.
David HaMelech is the person.
The Torah is not a business that has not quite worked out the way they planned.
What, what?
The Torah Mada, which we used to call Torah Mada.
No, I feel comfortable. I mean, Mark doesn't like, but I let them come into my house one time. They were shopping, and they sat down in my car. Why was I only doing? I said, don't worry.
Okay, we're going to do Yitzhak Piskam again. I want to say, we're going to try to finish.
No, these they go, then they go for the guy, but they bring every door now. So I've given them.
My wife works.
She's going to King of Three. I asked them, I said, okay, so answer me this question. Was, you know, very good, the Rabbanella is.
How are you?
Just said, oh, so you say he's the son of God.
Now we need to sit this Dumbest next week, maybe. We'll see. We did our dumbest so many times already. And it's something different.
Smicha at the same time. Some people could do it, but it's very rare.
Yechidim, very, very few. One, it was very rare. Right, yeah. True. The Hamoinam, we have a curriculum for a group, for a school. This is what he taught us. He says it's very good. And for some people, you know, if your agenda is you want to be produced Ivy League, so good. But don't fool yourself. I'm thinking,
right,
you know,
you learn to 3 o'clock, then you start taking English college class.
It's very hard.
Right.
And then, program.
And a friend of mine told me he would get back to the dorm at like 10 o'clock, he would take a nap for half an hour, and then he would start like 3 in the morning.
He's a yochid. Most people that come back take a nap, they're not staying until 3 o'clock to study.
Well, if you want to, if you're...
Yeah, yochidim, there are brilliant people that can do it, that have done it, proven they have done it. Okay, Rabbi, so let's go. I want to learn today. I want to try to finish up Yitzhak Piskam. Let's try to finish today Yitzhak Piskam and go on tomorrow.